independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk, the universal cure for boredom. Featuring Nicholas Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouths.
Well, welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by Jesse Von Ruden and Jesse Riley. Guys,
hello.
Huge show today. We're talking to Jay from Monda Lucha. Guy has been nothing but a supporter of Grapple Talk ever since I can remember. I mean, it's been since the first few shows that the guy, you know,
it really has been.
And
ever since that first show we plugged that we were aware of when we were on the air. You know, we just plugged the show, just like we do every other show in the Midwest. And he was really that first one to react to us in a really positive way. Because, you know, you have a few promoters that will be like, oh, that's cool, they're plugging themselves, like on Facebook. And that's it. But he was just really the first guy to be like, hey, do you guys need tickets? You guys want to check out the show? Yeah, you guys are being taken care of on our watch.
Yeah, he like really reached out to us, which is just a really, really cool thing. Really says a lot about, you know, the kind of person that Jay is. And you're going to really see that in this interview coming up. I mean, I don't like saying that we pre-tape our interviews, but I'll tell you right now, it's pre-taped, but it's fan.
Wait, it is?
Yeah.
You broke kayfabe!
But it's
broke the fourth wall, brother.
It's a fantastic interview. Punk. It's a great interview.
Well, Jay's a cool guy, and he runs even a cooler promotion there in Monda Lucha. They got a big show coming up on Friday. But guys, there's a lot of shows going on this weekend, and we got to get to those right here, right now.
Here are some featured shows.
All right, we're going to start things off Friday, September 11th. BCW, Bruce City Wrestling, that is, Knights of Columbus on 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. The BCW heavyweight title will be on the line as champion Joey the Jet Avalon will be taking on Sadist. It'll be a triple threat action for the tag team titles as Psychotic Rage will be taking on... Actually, no, that's not for the belts. Pardon me, that's right. Not for belts, because none of these guys have the belts. That's right. I'm taking the time to write the notes. Triple threat action. More likely, the winner would actually get an opportunity down the line for the belts. As Psychotic Rage will be taking on the Perfect Tens and the Beer City Bruisers. Now, this could be interesting. Psychotic Rage and the Perfect Tens used to be part of the Moretti agency. I'm not even too sure if that's a thing anymore, but we're going to see how that one goes. The BCW Heritage Championship will be on the line in a triple threat match, as well as Tyler Sunday, the champion, defends against Dysfunction and Alex Bernardino. Tickets are $17 at the door or $14 using PayPal at BruceCityWrestling1.com. And, of course, bell time is always at 7:30.
Don't forget, Monda Lucha is that Friday, but we have a lot of details in that show coming up in the spotlight. So stick around to learn more about what Monda Lucha is bringing to the table, because they'll also be in the Milwaukee area. What we just said, actually, 15 minutes away from Bruce City Wrestling. 15 whole minutes. So stick around to hear information on that. Coming up on Saturday, we got New Wave Pro Wrestling happening at 1439 Ash Street in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Terre Haute!
Two out of three falls. Will be, what? You don't like that?
It was unique. I'll give you that.
What is this though?
I wasn't expecting it.
You don't see me do that when you fumble over your words.
Yeah,
you do that. You actually just laugh.
Do you know the origin of that city's name?
No.
Someone actually tore out someone's heart there.
Yeah,
that's a deep.
They spelled it a little differently.
Yeah, it was deep in their chest. Their hand was.
Nice.
It?
Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continue.
Two out of three falls match as Sam Knight takes on Blake Reed. We also see Cole Radrick up against TJ Roberts. And a Queen of the Ring 2015 rematch as Cameron Starr takes on Samantha Heights. Firmo tickets, only $7, guys. Advanced. Wait a second. I read that wrong.
Ah.
Actually, no, I didn't. I sort of read it wrong. I'm going to reread it so now it's more clarified for you,
okay,
the listener. Front row tickets are $7 if you buy them in advance.
Ah.
Otherwise, they're $14 at the door. So you're saving 50% of your funds.
That's a hell of a deal.
It is a great deal. So general admission is $5. Advanced is, take a guess.
$10?
Yes. Hmm. It's $10. So you save half, you know, half price if
you
order.
So definitely, if you want to get those tickets for that show, get them when you hear this podcast and not at the door.
Yeah. Show starts at 7 o'clock for New Wave Pro Wrestling on Saturday, September the 12th in Terre Haute, By the way, check out the Facebook page. Not exactly sure where you can get the tickets in advance. I don't know if there's a website. If they got a website, we don't have it, you know, right in front of us. But go to our Facebook page, search New Wave Pro Wrestling, and try to get those tickets in advance, guys. Because you can get, you know, say $7 for front row tickets.
Yeah, you get two front row tickets for the price of one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this Sunday, XICW Extreme Intense Championship Wrestling.
Extremely intense championship wrestling.
As Nick goes to mock and shrug me. Yeah? You good?
Yeah. No.
XICW this Sunday, September 13th, the Ritz Detroit. That's 24300 Hoover Road in Warren, Michigan. XICW Championship rematch as the champion Joe Coleman defends against Rhino. And, of course, Rhino's been on a bit of a rampage over in XICW,
nice.
And they're finally giving him the rematch. So it's definitely going to be a slobber knocker, as JR might say.
Slobber knocker.
Title versus career as Owen Travers puts up his career at XICW against Gavin Quinn's light heavyweight championship. So, you know, Owen Travers is definitely a guy up there that, you know, if he loses his career, he's going to be missed up in XICW.
Boy, there's a lot of things on the line in that match. You know,
definitely.
That's one you don't want to miss.
Absolutely. Mysterious Movado takes on Jake Something. Movado, we've seen a bit in Bruce City Wrestling. He's a great talent. Always goes toe-to-toe with Matt Winchester and does not disappoint.
He's an interesting character, that
Movado. He is very interesting. We'll give you that. He's very mysterious, as it were. All seats are general admission, 12 in advance, 15 at the door. So really, there are no reason not to get your tickets in advance. And you can check out XICW on Facebook as well. Show starts at 5:30. It's a little bit earlier in the afternoon, but it's also a Sunday, so that makes sense. This Sunday in Warren, Michigan, XICW.
So if the Detroit Lions disappoint you, this show won't, though.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to disappoint
the Detroit Lions
this
play.
Show.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe. If they're playing the Jags, it's like, yeah, they're going to win.
I don't know if they're playing the Jags. I haven't even looked at the schedule.
I haven't either.
I definitely haven't looked at the schedule.
Of course you haven't.
Who are you guys?
I think Nick's sleeping.
Is that what it is?
No, that was me going, like,
trying to clear up your sinuses? Or
like, you watch football?
Oh, so you're hating.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what I did.
There's
that.
A difference between hating and telling the truth.
Literally have no idea why I did that.
I like Packer football. That's basically is the extent
I
of
like
my...
how he said, I like Packer football.
I like Packer. Have you ever heard of this before, mate?
Have you ever watched this thing? It's called the NFL. It's very fun team sport.
Fun team times.
You guys are a riot.
Yeah.
Well, speaking
Kid
of riots,
riot.
Though... Yeah, lately there has been a rush of wrestler and fan interaction, and not in the good way, in a very negative way, guys.
Yeah.
We saw it during a house show where Roman Reigns got hit in the back of the head with a replica briefcase from a fan. The fan chucked it from the crowd. Good shot, by the way, from the fan.
Hey, hit him.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it if he actually got signed by a Canadian Football League team,
maybe.
Unlike Tim Tebow, but
wow.
That's a different story for a different time. You had that. We had the fan jump the guardrail at another house show and supposedly try to stab Dean Ambrose. Evan, on Monday, well, we saw a walking banana come around the corner and
not Stacy Shadows.
No, no. This guy looked like the banana you would get at a state fair with the dreadlocks and everything. He looked exactly like that. Turns the corner.
A banana with dreadlocks?
Yeah, yeah. And starts walking down the ramp with Seth Rollins. Now, guys, we're fans, and we're also in the wrestling business. Fan wrestling interaction, has it gotten too far where maybe on the main stage they need more security?
The crazy thing about the Seth Rollins thing is that you were literally a knife and maybe a more crazy guy away from that becoming one of the most, you know, disturbing, tragic things that would have ever happened in WWE. I mean, if that guy wanted to, he could have just, you know.
Yeah, especially if he had a machete.
Yeah, if he had a machete, like, he could have went to town. And because you see, he just walked there.
Yeah,
and, I mean, it's
he
like,
just walking alongside Seth Rollins, and even Seth, you could kind of give, you know, he kind of gave notice to the guy. But even John Cena, when they cut away to him because they're trying to get the fan off camera, even John was trying to be like, "Hey, there's a guy there. Let's get rid of him." You know, even though they were supposed to be in a match against each other, he's like, guys, that guy's not supposed to be here. Like, what's going on?
And it's always like a weird. It's just weird when you see it because, like, you know, I was reading in the might have been like a Deadspin article or something, but mm-hmm. it's weird. Like when you read that stuff, it's like yeah, like when you it, like when I was browsing Reddit, I think is the first time I saw it. Now you know the instant thing that comes to your mind is like, oh, look at that guy. It's kind of funny how he does that. But it's when you actually think about it, it's like that's kind of scary because you don't know what that person be willing to do to a guy like Seth Rollins or somebody else that breaks into the, you know, because it's like they could do anything at that point because Seth had no protection around him whatsoever aside from a cameraman that was 10 feet in front of him, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even with Dean Ambrose, he didn't even realize that there was a guy there until the security guard had tackled him.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird to think about, especially when you come, if you're trying to localize it and make it about the indies and stuff like that. You know, I remember you guys, you know, what was that? Maybe a couple months ago at the last show I was at, I actually had a fan when I was managing AC Riley that, like, you know, put his hands on me and shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, this is like awkward. Like, you don't know what to do in that situation because you never expect that to happen because, you know, but sometimes people get so riled up they're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah. We've even talked to Pornstash about that because, mm-hmm. you know, back at SWE when he'd be ringside and then a fan would try to grab his belt or try to touch him, that's for him, apparently, that hasn't stopped because there's been a few other times. You know, he'll be coming back from the locker room all pissed off because somebody was just touching him.
And you know, it's not okay, but it makes you try to rethink of, does there need to be, like, a new you know, rules, whether it be in the indies or whether it be in WWE, to not touching. I mean, I don't even know how this dude got over the rail and wasn't seen that entire time.
Oh, I'm thinking it was like a...
You reenacted how he just did
it? Yeah, I did. Like, I think he just hopped in and then, like, calmly walked. I think he had enough liquid courage in him where he thought it was a good idea. I think, like... Here's the big thing, right? WWE does a really good job of trying to put every measure in they can to protect their performers. Sometimes you have a guy slip through the crack like that. Mm-hmm. But security is always there to make sure, you know, nothing really happens. Not like back in the day where you basically had police officers in that town act as security. So, like, you always hear the story, like, Roddy Piper when he was alive and stuff like that, like, he actually got stabbed by a fan. There was, like, you ever hear, like, the riots in Memphis where they're throwing chairs? Oh, yeah, you hear about the riots in Memphis or, like, guys getting pelted by batteries, you know? Yeah. Old ladies shiving guys and stuff like that. So, like, the main scene has gone a long way. I think on the indie, one of the things you got to remember is maybe security has got to be less passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
Because if you ever watch a show and stuff like that, the security guys are like, get back in the chair.
They're just either standing like statues or just cross-armed.
Hey, you, get back down in the chair. Put away that knife. Yo, that knife just went in my gut.
Do you think they need to, like, how they hire boys? You think that could work as a way?
Well, some companies actually use trainees. But I think what you have to do, really, is to tell these guys, hey, make sure it doesn't get to a certain point. Because if it gets to a certain point, then what the hell are you going to do?
Right.
You know? So maybe the implementing of guardrails at a lot of these shows would actually be beneficial, but a lot of these venues don't really support guardrails, you know, because that eats up a lot of space as well. I don't know. I think maybe you just need a guy at every corner.
Right.
You know?
Do you think, and here's something I've been thinking about. Do you think that some of the storylines where they have, like, for example, like Stephen Amell, like uh-huh. when he was, you know, hyping his match at SummerSlam, you know, here he was front row and he just hopped up over the guardrail. Even Floyd Mayweather, he and his entourage hyping WrestleMania, they just hopped over. Do you think that fans are seeing the celebrities doing it and thinking, well, if they can do it, it really shouldn't be that hard? Even the guy that tried to stab Ambrose, you see that video and he just hops over. It wasn't anything.
Yeah, but I think you also got to remember, too, though, it's like, would you do some of the things that celebrities do as well?
Some people are that stupid, honestly.
So you would actually sit underneath a glass table and watch a lady take a poop on you?
I mean, I personally wouldn't, but I mean, there's probably somebody who's like, oh, that guy did it, and I'm a big fan of his work, so obviously I should be doing that.
I love Marlon Brando, and I actually heard he likes to have girls poop on him. Maybe I should do that as well. I don't know. I think a lot of it is, like, you got to remember, though, like, celebrities, when they do that type of thing, they're already implemented into the story. When a fan does that, you're crossing that line. And I think a lot of fans just need to pull their heads out of their asses when it comes to that. Simple as that.
Definitely. Yeah, I think part of the reason, too, you know, if you're a fan and you're looking to get... If you're looking to be like Mr. Cool Guy, you have to realize nowadays that WWE nor does any other professional sport put up with that. I mean, they don't.
Nope.
it's very rare if somebody does get on the field, in the ring, on the court, that they're broadcasted at all nowadays. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised if you hear about it the next day, because you're like, I didn't even know somebody actually got in the ring that day. I couldn't even tell.
Yeah.
Because they do such a great job of making sure that they don't publicize people being able to do that. So, I mean, if you're sitting there listening to us right now and you're like, I kind of think it would be cool to jump in the ring on Raw next week. Just remember, you're probably not going to be on TV at all, so it's really not that worth it. Because I think that's probably one of the... I think that's probably, you know... Unless you just
you're not going to be on TV,
unless
and
you just
you're
want to
probably
look like a jackass
to...
in front of, you know, the 20,000 people that are there. But...
Well, that and also you're going to face a pretty hefty fine, let's be honest.
No. And you probably will get tackled very hard. That's why I wish... The only reason I wish they didn't cut away is because I guarantee that dude just got freaking pummeled. Yeah. And that would have been hilarious.
Well,
but...
when they had the fan video of the guy that tried to stab Ambrose, like, he just got flatlined.
No, I'm talking about this other guy, because this other guy's just walking, like, so nonchalantly. And there's probably a security dude that literally just rushed him and just took his head off. Like, went full Clay Matthews on him, and I think that would have been great to see.
Yeah.
It would have been funny.
It's kind of like, you guys remember the video of, like, of Eddie Guerrero beating up that one van? He actually, like, rode into the ring, and Eddie just started stomping him. Like,
yeah.
Just stomping him.
Yeah.
But, like, wrestler-fan interaction in the arena is one thing, but wrestler-fan interaction outside the arena is another thing. We actually heard a story that we actually got it reported on TMZ where Alicia Fox and Paige actually got into a scuffle at a local steakhouse there in Baltimore after a show when a disgruntled, drunken female fan got up in their face. Now, Nick and Alex, I know, Alex, you're a wrestler. You know, sometimes do you have interactions with fans that you regret?
I mean, not really, but at the same time, that it's a little bit different for me, I guess, because, you know, when we go out to after parties, you know, we'll talk with some of the fans, and I think it's really dependent, too, on the environment, I think, too, because, you know, we've been out to bars, and we've had a few beers and hung out with the other workers, talked with some of the fans that had a great time at the show. And I think because it stays in that environment, and then a lot of the fans, they kind of know when they've kind of overstayed their welcome. They're not just, hey, we're going to hang here until bar closes if that's cool with you guys. It's just like, no, get out of here. But, like, most of the time, it will just be a couple patrons like, hey, man, I had a blast tonight. You guys did great, and I'm going to go. I just wanted to tell you that, but I'm going to leave. I think a lot of the fans we've interacted with definitely kind of know how long their welcome is encouraged. You know, you have an occasional fan.
All right, Mr. Frickin' Celebrity over here.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I think it's just like in any situation. Like, if you're talking with somebody and then just after a while you kind of feel like, all right, this conversation's kind of wrapping up. I should probably leave. Or, you know, it's just like that.
But I don't think it's like – that's one thing. But when you have, you know, someone coming up to you definitely – in a different state of consciousness, just getting up in your face and stuff like that. That's where we're kind of going with
this.
Yeah,
and
one.
I mean, that happens, I think, in a lot of situations. You know, there's sometimes, there's always that one person at the bar that has had a few too many, and then they get really confrontational.
Usually that's most of the boys we go to the after parties with.
Usually.
So let's just put it that way.
Usually.
Right now.
And
yeah.
Here's the difference, okay? Yeah. I know that we're talking about, I know you're going to get on the topic of just fighting somebody that's drunk, but here's the thing that's different about Paige and Alicia Fox. I'm still under the mindset, and I don't care what other people say. If you work for the WWE, if you're in some sort of a spotlight whatsoever, no matter how provoked you are, you cannot get involved in something like that. Because regardless of how it does end up, it has the potential of ending up bad enough to where it can ruin your career. You know, like, that's part of the reason, like, I'm not by any means any sort of local spotlight guy or whatever. But just being on TV every once in a while, I know every time that I ever go downtown for drinks, I can't make an ass of myself in any sort of way, because that can somehow in some way always end up, you know, coming back to haunt you. So I can't imagine being somebody that's in a national spotlight and having that say. And, you know, it's the same thing. If you're out having dinner and this lady comes up to you and she's, you know, just bitching at you and, you know, making a scene and stuff, you got to try to keep your cool and just remember, hey, I get paid lots of money for something that I enjoy and I love doing, and I don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if like I said, if they would have turned out that they would have beat the crap out of her and, like, put her unconscious, you know, put her in a coma or something, I don't know what the hell would happen, you know, but you can lose your job, get suspended. I mean, you could, you know, for girls like Alicia Fox and Paige, who are pretty, you know, they're pretty big right now. They're pretty big in that division right
now.
It could kill any momentum they had. And I know, you know, people probably don't want to think that because, like, all the wrestlers, they whatever. But yeah, it's the truth, especially with now how conduct is, you know, being looked at nowadays.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, unfortunately, people are people. I mean, you know, Jack Swagger was on the fast track to success with the Money in the Bank stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, he got caught with the DUI, and then it just completely derailed. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes, I guess, you know, not to condone what Alicia Fox and Paige did, I just think that sometimes, you know, sometimes the situation just kind of gets out of your hands and you do stuff that you regret, but at the same time, in the moment, you're probably like, I don't want to deal with this person.
One of my favorite stories actually was in Terry Funk's autobiography. He was talking about this one fan this one time. They're at a steakhouse, you know, go figure. And the fan comes up to Terry. He's like, I don't think you're tough at all, Funk. Terry's like, I think your neck's sucking dog and stuff like that. And they got into a little scuffle. And this guy's like, I don't think you're tough at all. So Terry ended up biting him in the ass.
Wow.
Took a chunk of his ass with his mouth.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, one of my favorite Steve Stardom stories was
the one where he passed out at Old Country Buffet.
No, that one's a good one, too. But I think, like,
the one where he screwed a Timberwolf.
No, not that one. So, I mean, like, related to bars, because, like, he would tell us, I think he told us this our first day, was just, he would be at the bar, and he'd have the occasional wrestling fans, like, oh, you do that wrestling stuff? That stuff's so fake, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, he'd keep us cool, just like, you know what, tell you what, we have a training camp tomorrow, why don't you come down to it? And they just beat the shit out of the guy and just, you know, run him through the ropes and just, you know, run him ragged. And then all of a sudden you just never heard from that guy again.
Man, you never hear, like, hey, man, you do that editing stuff? Yeah, that's fake as shit. And then you're like, oh, how about you come to training camp tomorrow? And then you start wailing on him with, like, a fucking keyboard and stuff.
Well,
it's a fake. No, huh?
No, I was thinking he would come to the editing camp and just be like, well, this isn't too bad.
Is that how you got into editing?
Yeah, I got waffled in the face with a keyboard bomb. Coming up next, though, we got Jay from Monda Lucha. And guys, this was a great interview.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We're going to talk to Jay about everything from Monda Lucha to his shoot job. He's actually a teacher. Like I said, guys, fantastic interview. You don't want to miss it. Plus, we got the details about Monda Lucha's show on September 11th, and that's going to be one hell of a party.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now? What's inside, you know, everything comes and goes, no matter where you hide. I won't let you take everything that I deserve. Timing is the melody behind every word.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail, not breaking when you're broken, taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work for glory, and what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes, it's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
You asked, and we delivered. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we're sitting down with one half of the Monda Lucha owners. We're sitting down with Jay of Monda Lucha. And Jay, thank you for joining us this week.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Jay, you were telling us on the phone that you actually sold out of tickets for this Friday, but you guys talked to Turner Hall about a little bit of a extension. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
Kind of a nice thing. Always nice when you sell something out. it was pretty cool. We basically 2 days ago got a phone call where they said you're going to need more chairs. So that's always an interesting call. So we rented another 100 chairs to get into the venue, and then this morning they called back again and said, I think that we're stopping selling tickets. So we ended up turning it around, talked to them, kind of figured some stuff out, and it just kind of worked out that we're able to open it up now. So I think we have another 75 seats or 75 tickets that are still available. So it worked out really good for us. This is dream come true. We've come close to selling it out before, but this will be the most likely the first. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the first sellout that we've had there, so it should be great. So we're kind of over the moon about it right now. It's pretty good stuff. We're really excited for the show.
Jay, Mondolucha obviously making waves, especially here in Wisconsin, just always seems to be at the top of our list whenever we're looking at upcoming shows. And I've got to ask you, so where did this all really begin?
Probably about, I'd say about 8 years ago. If you want to go really far back, I, as a child, of course, loved wrestling, and then would follow the indie stuff here in the 90s. So I'd do a lot of the local indie shows in Milwaukee. We'd travel down to Chicago and see some stuff, and then ended up doing all the ECW-type stuff and following them around the country, like the Grateful Dead. And between, I would say, like 99 and 2005 or 6, got married, had kids. Wrestling takes that backseat. So for fun one night, we went to a local wrestling show. And this is basically what started it all. There was a wrestler dressed up doing a Russian gimmick, and he was not convincing, he was not menacing, he was nothing, he was just kind of like some guy. And we went for a birthday party with my friends, and my business partner Andy and I said, you know what, we could take a character like that, and we could totally do something with it and make it kind of weird, and I bet you we could do something like this. And that night, we sat there while we were watching the show and just kind of thought about it. Like, what could we do? How could we make our show? And because of that show, that was the catalyst for us to do Mondo Lucha. The following Monday, I called around the city just trying to book a venue, tried to figure some stuff out. And because I used to be in bands, local bands, I was able to hook up with Turner Hall, and they were like, yeah, let's do it here. So without even looking back, we just kind of bulldozed full steam ahead and started Mondo Lucha, and our first show was 2008, and yeah, we just kind of been going from there. So yeah, it's been great. It's a great run.
That's awesome. I mean, it's really funny that you mentioned that you could take someone like a Russian gimmick and take it and make something out of it, because now I think the Russian gimmick over in Mondo Lucha is one of your staples, if I'm not mistaken, and it's actually one of your stickers.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. You know, we had him marry a roller derby girl one show. We actually brought a priest out after he wrestled them and beat them. He got to pick one of the girls to marry. he used to team up. We had a goat character who was from outer space that they teamed up together. It was like a kind of a cool thing. But just being able to take something different and, you know, you've seen the Russian gimmick before. You've seen that over and over again, and it's always that kind of same thing. And we thought, well, what if he was more like Sloth from Goonies, where he's like a big, lovable, giant guy? And it's insane when you come to the show and you've got, you know, whatever, however many people are there, like chanting USSR, and you're like, this is ridiculous. And he's like holding on to like this strange goat man, or, you know, or the crowd's cheering him on, whatever it would be. It's just, we just kind of like turning it on its ear. And he's been kind of that staple, that he's been at every single show. He's in our Hall of Fame. He's the guy that's just kind of that rock that we have in each and every show. And he gets a great response every time. So, like, we're happy that we achieved what we did with him. But it's just really funny to be able to say, like, we took a very bland, stereotypical, like, 1980s character and just got it over big time with our crowd. So, yeah, he's all over our stuff. T-shirts, the stickers, we just temporary tattoos, all kinds of good stuff. So I love it. That's like a great achievement for me. So I think it's, or not for me, but for the show, for the brand, I just think it's like one of those things where, wow, we thought we could do this and we were able to do it.
It sounds like you guys fed him plenty of LSD to actually get him over at this point in time. One of the things I always really liked about Mondo Lucha was, like, it's athletic wrestling, but it's heavy on character base. Was that something when you guys decided to do it that you wanted to really put an emphasis on?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we have a set of rules that we follow whenever we book our shows, or book our talent, whatever we do. One of those things is we love having guys bring new characters to the table and seeing how, like, talking about them, seeing how we can make them better, how we can accentuate them. That's one of the big things. And for us, too, as much as our show is kind of funny and it can be goofy or silly, we never make the wrestling silly. It's never meant to be silly. There'll be funny things that happen, but we're very serious about it in the sense that if anybody that's not a wrestler comes in the ring, whether it be, you know, a radio DJ or someone else, we had people from the city come in to, like, declare Mondo Lucha Day, they get beat up. because the wrestling ring is no place for somebody that does not wrestle. So we have this theory where we build our characters and we treat it as this world, and it, you know, it has its rules and things are going to happen, and people just are able to vibe off that. All the guys that work with us are able to take that and they just run with it, and we just like the fact that they're willing to get crazy. You know, sometimes we'll approach guys, and if I could share one of them with one of our newer guys that people are really enjoying is a character named Red Goldstein. He's our Jewish superhero, and people love it because he's real lanky, and he's got this shiny, shimmery red suit and a big curly fro and a big mustache, and it's just kind of a weird character. But you know what? The crowd loves it. They embrace it. The guy who is Red Goldstein loves it, loves doing it. And, you know, when we think about, well, what can you do? And he just said, I'm going to give a thumbs up. So he gave a thumbs up, and all of a sudden all the crowd thinks that's the greatest thing in the world. Just working on that character. It's like we just really try to work on that stuff, and we're really happy that people respond to the characters, for sure.
Jay from Mondo Lucha joining us right now on Grapple Talk. Jay, what I got to know is we're talking about, you know, just how great Mondo Lucha is, but one thing that we've talked about for quite some time on the show is the ability that your show has to really reach out to that casual fan. I mean, just looking at your poster I saw that was actually posted in late July, you know, you have Whips coming to the show, and you have people commenting on that poster saying, Whips is going to be there. We're going to be there. You got Burlesque there. Tell me about, you know, this idea of turning this wrestling show almost into a party, a reason for people to want to go out aside from just what's happening in the ring.
Again, well, before I was married, everything's like before I was married. it's so hard. I can remember in the 90s going to dance clubs in Milwaukee wearing like an ECW Raven t-shirt, right? Like that wasn't a cool thing to do, but I was doing it. Right? Yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. And people are like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's this great wrestling thing. And everyone would just look at you, oh, wrestling? What are you talking, you know, oh, what is this? What are you doing? And people loved wrestling as kids. I think we loved, like, the outrageousness when we were younger. I mean, I love it all. I love the psychology. I love the way it goes now. I love everything about the business. I always have, and I always will. But I think a lot of people in like their 30s and 40s remember how it was in the 80s and the very cartoony age, but they don't want to admit it. I have lots of closet wrestling fans that if you asked a group of people standing there and said, who likes wrestling, they'd be like, nah, you know, whatever. But then when you get them alone, they're the ones that lean in and are like, yeah, man, Greg Valentine was great or something. They're always, you know, they're always that closet wrestling fan. And so I think we've provided an outlet for the people who aren't necessarily sure that they want to admit, hey, we're wrestling fans. We add a couple cool things. We have some dancing girls. We bring in usually like a really great band that's local, that's kind of up and coming, or that's really making waves. And then that brings in that crowd. And then they realize, like, look, we're all here just having fun. You know, we're all, everyone's just having a party and enjoying themselves. And it kind of opens that up. I also think it's funny that people talk about, you know, how hard it is to run shows or do things, whatever kind of entertainment form you're in. Try to run a wrestling show for non-wrestling fans and try to figure out the psychology and what's going to make that crowd do what they do or what's going to make them excited. And that's really, really hard. It's hard enough at a local indie show to draw 100 to 150 people. Now try to put on a show where you're not appealing to your typical wrestling fan and hope to draw like 500 or 600 people. It's pretty crazy. So we're just constantly trying to bridge that gap, and it feels like we're opening the door for a lot of people who are the closet wrestling fans to be able to come out and kind of sow their wild oats. So, yeah, I love it.
Absolutely, and I know that's something that WrestlePalooza over in Minnesota also gets a lot of good bonus points for, is that, you know, the idea that it's a wrestling show, it's a live concert, it's a burlesque show, it's all really merged into one. And we've even talked to a few people that have been to Mondo Lucha, been to WrestlePalooza. You know, it's you know, they get the same vibe, whereas it's that, you know, giant wrestling party. And for WrestlePalooza, they used to be just a monthly promotion. Was that something that you guys ever considered to arrange? Originally just to do a monthly wrestling show, or was it always from the get-go, we just want to have a party?
Well, to me, Milwaukee is an interesting market when it comes to whether you're a band or whether you're a performance artist or wrestling. I'm not satisfied, and I would not be satisfied if we ran a monthly wrestling show and we were only drawing 100 people or 75 people, or maybe some month the number's down or whatever. No matter how great your talent is, you're always going to have a slump. Milwaukee, to me, does not sustain any kind of an entertainment group, like a comedy group of a larger scale or a acting troupe. If you're satisfied with a smaller crowd, then that's fine. That's for you. But for me, if we're going to do it, we just want to do it big. Oh, sorry. Oh, my wife's calling. Sorry about that. see what I'm saying? This is the ties that bind here with her. She's trying to get a hold of me. But seriously, so I try to, we try to, in the show, for us, it's like if we do it once or twice a year, that kind of satiates the crowd. If we did it more than that, numbers would be down. We couldn't put on the same spectacle that we feel we put on. The joke we always say is, hey, the Super Bowl only happens once a year. So if the Super Bowl only happens once a year, hey, maybe we should just pretend we're like the low-rent Super Bowl and just run once a year. So, but what we do try to do is we do try to run side shows, things like they have Taco Fest in Milwaukee where we provide the wrestling for that. And we also done Mexican Fiesta. We've done Cinco de Mayo at the Congress Theater in Chicago. So, we've kind of branched out a little bit, but it's a lot of work for us. And we're both married and have kids and shoot jobs that we have to do every day. So I'm a first grade teacher. So for me, it's kind of crazy to be able to balance the two. As today, I'm on the phone telling my class that they need to read a book, as I'm going back to my phone and texting saying, did we get the confetti blasters for this weekend? That's just the life, I guess. So,
but I think at the same time, even though you're not running monthly, it definitely does add to the illusion of Mondalucha, because you have you have fans that go to the show maybe this Friday that are just like, oh man, I got to go to this one next time. When is this next one? It's like, it's not going to be for a while. And it's almost like Christmas the next time that Mondalucha comes down. It's like, you see the poster, you're like, oh my god, I got to set my calendar. I got to go to this next one because it was such a blast.
That's what we're hoping for. That's exactly what we're hoping for, and it seems like it's working, so that's nice. I mean, it took a few years, but it seems like it's working.
I gotta ask, you're a first grade teacher. Do you ever gauge your classroom on wrestling gimmicks? Do you ever
ask them
the question?
Hey, so here's a great one. When they find out, when the kids find out that I do wrestling, mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to be, hey, I promote wrestling, whatever. They did it in the newsletter for the school, which was, then I had every parent coming up and trying to ask me about it.
Fantastic.
Kids will walk up to me and just say things that they'll go, do you know Undertaker? And I go, no, I don't know him, but I've seen him. He's very scary. I'm always like, oh yeah, he's really tough. And then a few weeks ago or a week ago, a student came up to me and said, so if John Cena comes down the ramp out of the backstage, and when he comes out, then another guy comes out, the bad guy, or whoever, Kevin Owens, or whoever he said, comes out, do they see each other when they're standing there waiting to go out
figuring
to the ring?
It out.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, first graders. No, what do we tell? So what I said was, I basically told them, I said, what they do is they have men that are handlers backstage that make sure that only one guy can come out at a time and that they don't see each other, because otherwise all the fights would happen backstage and they'd never be on TV. And then he just looks at me and it's like, oh, okay, makes sense, and then goes back to his seat. So I get a lot of that stuff. So that's fun. Or you want to, or a kid will say something to you like, Kevin Owens, he's a big fat guy. He wears a shirt. He's not a real wrestler. And I'm not going to get into psychology with the gimmick. Well, listen, let me tell you what he was doing on the indies about 5 months ago.
Break it down.
That's always good. Or my favorite last year was CM Punk. Oh, everyone kept saying all year, every kid in the school, CM Punk's coming back this weekend. I'm like, no, he's not.
Oh, man.
And they'd be like, but no, he is. My brother's friend said CM Punk will be at the pay-per-view. I'm like, no, he won't. And so you don't want to, you're just like, okay, have fun with that. Enjoy how that works out. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's fun because they're wild-eyed and they love it, and they love it for just what it is and what they see on TV. So that's really cool. I think that's, you know, it's nice because they are growing up and, you know, the same memories I have. So it's just a cool thing. And being able to see them that they get it, they're figuring things out, but at the same time they can just get lost in it and just love what's happening, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or just there. It's such a cool thing to see.
You know, that's really interesting, and I guess I've never really thought back to how much I missed that part about childhood, the innocence of watching pro wrestling. But I think that's part of, you know, really what, you know, promotions like Mondo Lucha and we talked about WrestlePalooza do, is that I feel like whenever I've went to an event like that, I actually also get lost in what's happening in the ring because it's not your traditional, it's like we said, it's like that party feeling, so you kind of get involved almost more than you would at maybe a normal show, and I think that's what's really helpful about those kind of shows.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing that always, it's not disappointing, but it's kind of, I laugh about it, is so my sons, I have one who's 10 years old and one who's 12, and they come to the shows, and they cover their eyes during the women and all that stuff, so I'm not that bad of a dad. But they could care less about going in the ring. They could care less about the wrestlers. And to me, I'm thinking, if someone told me right now you could go on a space shuttle to the moon, oh, I'd be crazy. When I was a kid, if someone said you could go and play in that wrestling ring, I would have died and gone to heaven. Every show, my kids, I go, hey, you guys want to go in the ring and wrestle? And they're like, yeah, we're fine. I'm like, this is, are you kidding me? So they go back to school and then tell their teachers, well, I was at my dad's wrestling show this weekend. And they play it off like, no big deal. So at the last show, my son fell asleep backstage around the boys, just sleeping on like a futon or something or a chair. And at one point, he woke up, and he was groggy, and I was super upset. I'm like, come here. And I took him over to the balcony, and we looked over, and people were having fun. And I'm like, all these people are yelling and having a good time. You're my son, and you're sleeping on a chair in there. Show me some enthusiasm. Get in on this. So everybody vibes off it, except for my son, is basically what I'm trying to tell you. He just he doesn't like it. But, yeah, but it's setting up that party atmosphere, having a good time. That's what we're all about, just keeping wrestling fun. That's the big thing.
I'm surprised the boys didn't rib your son.
Yeah, right.
Like one eyebrow.
No, they're pretty good. They've never, you know, I think because my sons kind of look at them and just go, leave me alone, and they just leave them be. So, yeah, they're good stuff. And Andy, my partner, he absolutely same thing. Like his boys will come to the show, and they're a little bit younger, so they like getting in the ring and screwing around. But I think as soon as the boys start coming and showing up, Andy kind of ushers his kids out. Like, I don't want you around this riffraff. So I'm just kidding. They're not riffraff.
So I got to ask too. Be the first grade teacher. I'm granted, it's been a while since I've been in first grade, but I don't know if there's really
isn't that just like a couple of months ago.
No, it was
a while.
Is
it a Billy Madison thing? Okay.
Yeah, Nick and me actually had to pick him up from school today. It was terrible.
Yeah. <that's
laughs> why are you making up lies?
I'm not making up lies.
So again, it has been a while since I've been in first grade, but I'm not sure if show and tell is the thing, but if it is, have you ever had the Russian wrestler as your essentially secret weapon? It's like, oh, there's a lot of good stuff, you guys, but I got something better.
But I got this. I tried to bring Shockwave, the robot,
oh,
and a
couple
of
man.
And I showed the principal and was like, hey, look, I got this guy that'd be willing to come in. And he's like, oh, great. What does he do? Is he, you know, does he sponsor reading or is he like the math robot? I'm like, no, he's a wrestler named Shockwave. Like, can he just come in? And then the principal said, I don't know about that. But that would have been awesome. That would have been super great because he was totally game to do it. And, you know, we would have set him up in the coat closet. He could have got dressed and had all the bells and whistles and lights and come out. But, yeah, the principal wasn't too game to that one. So, but I do, like, every year for Cinco de Mayo, I have my kids make Mexican wrestling masks out of paper. So that's kind of cool, and they get to wear those home. So that's kind of fun. So I try to tie it in a little bit at least, and they enjoy it.
I'm just going to tell you right now, if I would have had a teacher that had me make Mexican lucha masks when I was...
That would be the greatest thing ever.
That would be the greatest thing ever. I would love it. I got to ask you, Jay, so we're winding down the interview a little bit. Tell us about Friday. What can people expect if they're going to come out to Mondo Lucha?
Friday, main event for the Mondo Lucha heavyweight title. Our champion, Isaias, takes on in the triple threat, Matt Cross. also known, of course, as Son of Havoc in Lucha Underground. And DJ Zima Ion, when he works for us, I like to call him Shima Zion. So, but that's just personal preference. So that's our main event that night. Our tag team titles will be defended. Zero Gravity is defending the belts. Darren Corbin is supposedly bringing a team of his choice to challenge them. And there might be another team surprisingly thrown into the mix. Rumor has it that Dysfunction and Canon, their tag team, they're angry because last year they lost the titles, and they wanted to issue an open challenge for any team to wrestle at the show. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Marion Fontaine runs the Rogues Gallery, his group of crazy psychopathic clowny type, not psychopathic clowns in the form of ICP, let me correct that, psychopathic group of weird circus freak type people. There's a lot of strange characters who last show they happened to convince Zach Gowen to side and align himself with them. So we're interested to what's going to happen there. Supposedly Zach Gowen is interested in challenging the Russian Beast to a match this time. So we will see if that shakes out. So, and then Whips, great band from Milwaukee. For anyone that has not seen Mondo Lucha, the way we approach it is like Saturday Night Live. Whips will play a song. We do some matches. We do some dancing girls. They come out and do another song or two, and then they finish the show with a song or two. So it's not like a full concert. They're just kind of like sprinkled in there just for effect. And, you know, if you got to go to the bathroom, maybe that might be a good time to go. So.
Awesome. So for anybody listening that wants to get one of those tickets that's now open or just get more general information, where can they go to go get all the details for Mondo Lucha?
Preferably at this point, we'd like to send them to the Pabst Theater Turner Hall Ballroom website, and they have a ticket site on there where you can still get some of the tickets that are remaining. That's probably your best bet for tickets. If you're looking for anything from us, you can go to MondoLucha.com. Where we're selling our DVDs, which is a strictly all wrestling DVD. It's not so much the show itself, but it's a lot of our best greatest hits matches with guys like Colt Cabana, Shockwave, Zero Gravity, Dysfunction, Matt Cross, Mustafa, just like our main players on our show. They're all on the DVD. And you can go, yes, MondoLucha.com, or then just look for us, Mondo Lucha, on Facebook. Those are probably the best places.
Now, really quick about the DVDs. I know last year we were plugging a lot about Volume 1. Is there more volumes, or is it still just Volume 1?
Yes, there's actually Volume 2 is in the works. We're a little bit slow-moving on that stuff sometimes, but we want to make sure that we're putting out good, high-quality product for everybody. So we really kind of slave away at it. We also have some other things in the works right now with some larger things going on that I actually cannot speak of. So eventually, but I'll tell you what, I will come first to you first and foremost if we have a big announcement. So you guys will get an exclusive from us.
Awesome. We're looking forward to that. And again, Jay, for Nick and Jesse, thank you for joining this week to talk about Mondo Lucha this Friday.
Hey, I really appreciate it, you guys. You're doing great stuff over there.
Well, we appreciate that. Mondo Lucha this Friday, September 11th at the Turner Hall in Milwaukee. Stick around for more Gravel Talk right after this.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Brewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
A new day has dawned for Milwaukee's own Mondo Lucha at the Turner Hall Ballroom. For only $20, you can take home the high-flying pro wrestling of Mondo Lucha for the very first time. It's the Mondo Lucha's World of Wrestling, Volume 1. It's jam-packed full of great wrestling action, including Shockwave the Robot taking on Darren Corbin, Colt Cabana taking on El Chivas Blanco, and in tag team competition, the team of Eric Cannon and Dysfunction take on the team of Zach Gowen and Matt Nix. Why wait any longer? For $20, you can take home this great DVD of wrestling action by going to their website, MondoLucha.com. It's Mondo Lucha's World of Wrestling, Volume 1.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to YouTube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern Independent Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling Roundtable Slam. PWR Slam. Every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio on the Evolution Radio Network. 9 Eastern, 8 Central Standard. PWR Slam, leading the pro wrestling radio revolution with a new evolution by bringing you the stars of yesterday, the stars of today, and the stars of tomorrow, and all the other news and happenings you need to know in the world of professional wrestling. Find us on Facebook, PW Roundtable, or on Twitter, PWR Slam. See you Wednesdays.
Hey, what's up, Grapple Talk? This is Dysfunction and my tag team partner, Chase McCoy.
Ah!
We are Insane Evil, and we're here on Grapple Talk to tell you a little bit about my new podcast. It's the THC3 Roadcast. It's on OneGimmickWorld.com. Myself, Jason J., Jared Jacks, and our random guests like Chase McCoy, Matt Winchester. The list goes on, but check out our podcast and give it a like.
High five, Jay.
Yeah!
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Guys, that was a lot of fun sitting down with Jay from Mondo Lucha. You know, it always sucks so much that every time Mondo Lucha is going on, we can never go.
It really does suck. I mean, I just really want to go. I mean, we've always talked about how much we love WrestlePalooza, and that's the same. We get that same vibe from Mondo Lucha, and that's just a show that, you know, you want to circle. Every time it comes out, it's like we want to circle on our calendars. But as Riley said after we got out of the interview, it seems like that happens. You know, months beforehand, we're like, we're going to the show, and then something comes up.
Yeah.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
And, Alex, this week we actually got a question that you wanted to talk about. All right, so Blue Pants in NXT has a special deal where her merchandise sales, the WWE does not get a cut of that, and she gets 100% of the profits that she makes off the Blue Pants t-shirt. Now, the t-shirt's actually a very simple design. Gray? Blue Pants.
Huh?
Not spelled out, just a pair of blue pants.
Uh-huh.
So I got to ask you, AC Riley, as a wrestler, if a guy came into your promotion and they had a deal like that, but your merch, like the company took a cut of, how would you feel about that? Or do you think this is a great idea and more people should do this?
I think it's a great idea, and I think more people should do it because look what happened with Samoa Joe. He had one of the deals that they don't often give out to many people, that he didn't want the developmental deal. He wanted to still do some independent shows because he knew he wasn't going to be making a ton of money with the original contract. So he got to be more and more popular, if you think about it, because he was doing the independent shows while still working with NXT. Rhino does the exact same thing because you're just like instead of it just being, you know, a former ECW guy, a former WWE guy, and you can say current NXT superstar. So that's going to bring people to your shows just because, like, oh, wow, this is an active wrestler. Because, you know, for example, when we saw Mr. Anderson in lacrosse, It wasn't a former guy. It was still a guy wrestling in their prime, you know, guy you see on TV. So I think Blue Pants is a great marketing thing. I mean, she's not a full-time employee with NXT. She does, you know, the occasional show here and there. Crowd loves her. So, yeah, why not make some extra money?
Makes you wonder why they haven't brought her in full scale, just because she's so over with that crowd. I mean, I think it is kind of nice when you get her every once in a while, but, you know, she's since the beginning. I mean, nowadays, she's probably one of the most over divas in that division.
Yeah, she had a great match with Alexa Bliss last week, and She got super over in Brooklyn. Like, they announced her as the equalizer, and everybody lost their goddamn minds.
Yeah.
Yep. Actually, Alexa Bliss, she's going to go places. I think it's really cool, though, for Blue Pants to actually have the deal that she has, because if she actually went with a full-time deal, I think she would actually lose the merch side.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, I wonder why WWE hasn't been like, let's make this full-time. Maybe they have. I don't know.
If I had to give a reason, it's just probably because, like, one, age, two, like, it's the novelty. And I think, like, the thing that really works for NXT is, like, you can bring in those guys, and they're not on every show. And that's something that you don't have with Raw. It seems like almost everyone on the main roster is always on Raw, except for, like, Zack Ryder, and who cares about him. But I think that's one of the things that's kind of really special, though, about NXT, is when someone shows up that hasn't been on, like, every week, people lose their damn minds. And that's really cool for Blue Pants, because that keeps her fresh. Yeah. I think you would get sick and tired of wearing the same blue pants all the time. Mm-hmm. I think you get sick and tired of blue pants all the time, you know? Wow. So it's actually kind of nice when you can bust out your blue pants.
Da-da-da-da.
It's just stuff. One of those things. I think it's a great deal for her. I think we all in agreement about that. You know, hey, maybe we'll have her on the show one of these days to actually talk about it.
Wow. Now you're talking us up too much.
What? What, we can't shoot for the stars and get blue pants on?
How do you contact blue pants?
I would say bluepants@AOL.com. Like, yeah. Like,
pants
AOL is like the Kmart version of email now.
The Kmart version?
Yeah, she was supposed to be the
Kmart. Like the one that nobody goes to?
Yeah, exactly. She was supposed to be the Kmart version of a wrestler,
would it be,
you know?
Would it be terrible if she actually had an AOL account? Like, we found that out.
Oh, my boss does.
That doesn't surprise me.
Be kind, rewind. Tape study.
All right, guys, we're going to go back in time to August 29th, 1994. If you remember that date, it was actually SummerSlam that year. We are going to the semi-main event.
I was 3, so.
Oh, that's good for you, man.
Don't remember
I
that.
I was 10.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're old. I'm just kidding. Damn. Were you really?
What? I was 10, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old.
You age well.
No, I don't.
Nah,
it's the beard.
Right.
I don't age well, but thanks, Sonny, for telling me that.
You're welcome.
Anyhow, it was the semi-main event. It was for the WWF Heavyweight Championship, contested in a steel cage between the King of Hearts, Owen Hart, and the champion at the time, Bret the Hitman Hart. This Whoa. Is a classic cage match. If you think of cage matches as needless bloodletting, this one is a work of art with one of the best finishes I can remember. I remember actually driving back from Illinois. We went for a family wedding. They had recorded the week before, and they're like, hey, Jesse, you can borrow SummerSlam. And I'm like, I'm 10. I love this. This is great. So we drove back from Illinois, and it popped it in because we had that gimmick TV with the VCR in it, and which probably eats up your car battery so bad, but I just didn't care. And I'm watching this, and I had a blast then watching it. I had a blast the other day watching it. I'm going to have a blast watching this match anytime. We're going to put it on Facebook. We're going to put it on the Twitter. You can check it out. Also, make sure you catch up with all the past tape studies. We got them in a nice little album.
Yeah.
You know, with all the links. And, you know, if we were DVD pirates, we would probably just rip those off and just sell the Gravitalk tape study DVD.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but we'd probably Probably get in trouble. Dustin, where you at, dude?
Dustin,
where you at, man?
I don't know.
Those cool covers.
Yeah.
Be nice. You have a picture on the front of it or something?
Or like a bowl of popcorn or something.
It's like clip art.
Yes. They have like a clip art like DVD cover. It'd be awesome.
It'd be great. Well, this has been a great episode, guys. Obviously, fantastic interview with Jay. Otherwise, you know, great talks, guys. Really appreciate it. We got episode 90 coming up in a couple of weeks. Before we get there, we got 89. Next week, Ace Rally, closing comments.
Just shout out to Melanie Cruz, who's back in Japan. Best of luck.
Yeah, she's going to be over there for quite some time this time, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, she had a fantastic time up in Japan the first time. She's going back, not only because she wants to, but they want her back. And I think now, just the first-time experience will definitely be all the more wiser for what she could expect the second time around. So best of luck.
Cruzilla, yeah. Going to work.
Go, go, Cruzilla.
Go, Cruzilla. Ooh. And also, we just want to make sure that we give a shout-out to Kid Riot, one of our longtime, very loyal friends. Known him...
First-ever guest on Grapple Talk.
That's right. First-ever guest. Was he the first-ever reoccurring guest? I don't even know. First-ever guest, though, that's pretty big.
First-ever supporter, we can give
pretty
that.
Big accomplishment, I guess, yeah. But, you know, one of... Just Pat, you know, beyond the ring, one of the greatest guys you ever meet. I mean, we've had plenty of times where we've, you know, late night Perkins runs with him when he's came to town. You know, it's
set up Jesse's car alarm a few times.
Yep, that
yeah,
was
he didn't puke in the car though. That's a plus.
Because he's a bro.
And you know, on Facebook today, he mentioned that there's a chance that he will be done with wrestling for good because his doctor has told him that it's what's best for him as far as his health goes. So really sad to see, but hopefully, you know, we'll be seeing him the last couple of times here in La Crosse and. You know, it's gonna be kind of a little bit of a somber moment, I think, when we see him next.
Yeah, definitely. You always want to go out on your own terms. You don't want someone else to tell you when to leave. Man.
Yeah.
What else can you say?
Not a whole lot. It's unfortunate.
Got nothing.
I got nothing.
That's all right. Wow. That's all right. We got episode 89 coming up next week. So thanks for listening, and as always. Grapple Talk listeners, grapple heads, grapple talkers, grapplers, talk grapplers.
Talk grapplers.
Talk grapplers.
We discuss this every time, and we always forget.
Stay classy.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves Nathan Gust.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
Geeks of the Industry presents... Pro Wrestling Nation, hosted by Bay Area comedian Funky Sam Medina.
Hashtag killing.
Go check out Pro Wrestling Nation right now on iTunes, Stitcher, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, GeeksOfIndustry.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Saying you want to hang out with Rene Dupree, uh-huh. You want to hang out with the French Tickler?
What did you have before you came in
He
today?
Had a move called the French Tickler.
Yeah,
okay?
He did.
Yeah. They were okay with that.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Rudin.
That's the bottom line.
Because right. Jesse Von Rudin said so.
No, not at all.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, gimmick steal.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.